Thank you, John.
Tonight's reading is in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verses 1 to 45, and that can be found on page 1077 of the Church Bible. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him.
Thank you, Donald. Well, Easter Sunday. It is arguably the most important day in the Christian calendar, the day when we praise God for what we believe to be the most significant event in human history. the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does the resurrection mean to you and me today? Why is it so important that the resurrection took place? What is the significance of the resurrection to our everyday lives, our thinking, our faith? Well, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Last Sunday we sang these words. In him I have believed, on this my hope now rests, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And the joy of Easter is this, that we have a sure and certain hope that death is not the end, just as it was not the end for Jesus. Again, last Sunday we sang, there is a hope so sure, a promise so secure, the mystery of God at last made known, treasures so vast appear, all wisdom, knowledge here. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the last verse of that same song says, there is a life so strong, there are a whole world of wrong, and all the powers of hell could not defeat, for Jesus rose again. And if we died with him we'll rise to share his endless life. Or in the words of the Apostle Peter, that I'm sure very familiar to from 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of his salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. Given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. What a blessing, what a privilege. Something to hugely rejoice over this Easter time. Well, tonight I thought I would like to spend a few minutes with you looking at the story of the raising of Lazarus that Joan read to us earlier. And in particular to focus on those verses 25 and 26, which in the NIV simply say, Jesus said to her, that is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said to Martha. In preparing for tonight, I would like to acknowledge how helpful I found Frank Lyle's book, The I Am Sayings of Jesus. Don't know how many of you have got that. Frank doesn't just write law books or crime thrillers, you see. He is a theologian at heart, clearly. And this book, produced by Christian Focus back in 1996, was actually the product of a series of Wednesday evening Bible studies that Frank did here on the I Am sayings of Jesus. Well, let's look through John chapter 11 together, shall we? A story that I'm sure is familiar to many of you. It starts, Lazarus was sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And we read at verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death, nor it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." What does that mean? Jesus does not mean that the sickness is not fatal, but it will not end ultimately in death. Far from it. As we shall see, it will end in resurrection from the dead, and that for God's glory. I guess this thought is similar to that in chapter 9 at the start, where you remember Jesus heals a man born blind. And at chapter 9, verse 3, we read, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." This blind man's handicap happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Well, likewise, the death of Lazarus will prove to be for God's glory, which here means not so much in order that God may be glorified or praised, but rather in order that God's glory may be revealed. And this particular revelation of God's glory is so that God's Son may be glorified through it. That is, God will reveal his glory by glorifying his Son through the raising of Lazarus. Now, it might seem to us almost callous that when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, verse 6. But not so. It says in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In fact, the death of Lazarus and his subsequent raising to life are not only to glorify the Father and the Son, but after the good of Lazarus and his sisters, as we shall see. Their faith was strengthened. So this incident is so that God's glory might be revealed. Not only in God coming to Lazarus and his sisters, but also, as we see just glancing forward to verse 15, chapter 11 there, where it says, verse 14, "So then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.'" Jesus was speaking to the disciples whose faith was more firmly established as a result of this incident. And also we see at the very last verse that John read for us earlier, at verse 45, "Therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him." So God's glory was revealed through this incident to Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but to the disciples also, and to the Jews who believed. Anyway, after a 2-day delay, Jesus announced his plans to the disciples to return to Judea, verse 7. His disciples were aghast, as you noticed. See what they thought in verse 8? "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Well, the disciples didn't want their master to go anywhere near where hostile Jews who were maybe seeking his life. But Jesus effectively tells his disciples in verses 9 and 10 that he knows what he's doing, that he is safe as long as he's doing God's will. The time would come soon enough when he would no longer be able to do God's work. Well, in verse 11, Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up."
Well, the disciples take his words at face value. If Lazarus is asleep, they naturally assume he'll be recuperating. He'll be getting better, verse 12, or so they thought. But verse 13, Jesus has to come to them and explain to them Jesus had been speaking of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. No, things had gone beyond sleep for Lazarus. Jesus had to spell things out for his disciples. Verse 14, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so you may believe, but let us go to him. This time the disciples don't object. Perhaps the blunt news of Lazarus' death stunned them. At any rate, all we have is Thomas rather resignedly saying to the others in verse 16, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, when Jesus gets to Bethany, Lazarus, we read in verse 17, had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Verse 18, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. We then come to this amazing dialogue between Martha and Jesus. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, it would be easy to think that Martha is rebuking Jesus, but I don't believe that is the case. Rather, these words are words of grief and of faith. She is confident that if Jesus had been present while her brother lay ill, Jesus would have healed him. In addition, Martha almost certainly would have known that Jesus had raised to life again the son of the widow of Nain, story in Luke chapter 7, and also the daughter of Jairus, story in Luke chapter 8. So verse 21 says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And you can see that Martha has certainly not lost her confidence in Jesus. Frank puts it this way in his book, there was in her a bud of faith, as yet unopened, but trembling on the verge of its spring. And in verse 23, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now, of course, on one level, Jesus' words, your brother will rise again, could be taken as no more than a straightforward attempt to comfort Martha by drawing her attention to the resurrection at the end. Death will not have the last word. At the last day, the resurrection will take place and her brother will be restored to new life. That is the way that Martha seems to understand Jesus' words. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But at another level, Jesus is promising more immediate resurrection for Lazarus. Does that point escape Martha? Well, only the drama which is about to unfold will disclose this meaning in Jesus' words. I wonder, is there a hint that when Jesus says, your brother will rise again, that Martha is thinking tentatively something more than just that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection at the last day? We can't be sure. Whatever, Jesus responds with this remarkable claim, I am
the resurrection and the life.
Altogether, as I'm sure you know, Jesus made 7 I am claims in John's Gospel. I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the door, or sometimes we say the gate, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the resurrection and the life, I'm the way, the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. And in making these claims, Jesus is challenging his hearers to personal belief in himself. In saying, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus' concern is to divert Martha's faith from its apparent belief in what happens at the last day to a personalized belief in him who alone can provide it, that is life. Just as Jesus not only gives the bread from heaven, John chapter 6, but is himself the bread of life, so also he not only raises the dead on the last day, but is himself the resurrection and the life. There is neither resurrection nor eternal life outside of him. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He said to Martha. Now, I guess there are 2 very important truths that we can immediately take from these words of Jesus. Firstly, do you remember the rich young ruler's question when he came to Jesus? He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Well, that was the thinking of the Pharisees, was it not? Their confidence was rooted in the premise that by obeying God's commands, fulfilling the law if you like, that was the way that one obtained eternal life. Suddenly the rich young man saw eternal life as the reward for good conduct. And let's be honest, many today, even within the church, think exactly the same thing. But Jesus taught differently. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because we see quite clearly that eternal life is not automatic. The scriptures clearly teach that not all who die go to heaven. It's not essentially to do with living a good life, of doing our best, as many would say. It's all about believing in Jesus. He who believes in me will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Eternal life flows from us having a relationship with Jesus, which if you were here this morning, you remember that Dominic was talking about. That personal relationship with Jesus, believing in him. I guess the question for us all here tonight is, do I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the challenge. Only that way will we find ourselves knowing eternal life and being in heaven one day. There's a second important truth to take from verses 25 and 26, and it is this. Verse 26 says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That is, the believer enjoys resurrection life, eternal life now. This is a recurring theme in John's Gospel. In anticipation of Jesus' resurrection, there is the repeated promise that those who believe in him
will immediately possess eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 5:24, I tell you the truth, says Jesus, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Chapter 8, verse 51. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Yes, ordinary mortal life ebbs away. But the life that Jesus gives never ends. Yes, there is life in Christ after death, but there is also life in Christ before death. Do you remember Jesus' words in chapter 10, verse 10 of John's Gospel? I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to live the Christian life now, to know the eternal life that starts now. What a privilege that is. Well, let us look at the rest of our passage much more quickly. After making this wonderful claim to be the resurrection and the life, Jesus says to Martha at the end of verse 26, do you believe this? Jesus is not asking if she believes that he is about to raise her brother from the dead. But if her faith can go beyond quiet confidence that her brother will be resurrected at the last day, to personal trust in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. The only person who can grant eternal life and promise the transformation of resurrection. If she answers positively, the raising of Lazarus will become an acted parable of the life-giving power of Jesus. And you would notice Martha's response. And her response was immediate. Verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And we see that Martha had penetrated the message of the Old Testament. She realizes that the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come, has come. I believe, she says. Her faith is a rich mixture of personal trust and of confidence that certain things about Jesus are true. That he is the Christ. That he is the Son of God. And that he is the one who was to come into the world. You know the rest of the story. Martha tells her sister Mary that the teacher is here and is asking for you. Verse 28. Note that Martha didn't keep Jesus to herself. Wanted to share what she discovered. Naturally, Mary is upset. Down at verse 32 we read, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The same words that Martha had said earlier on. And then notice Jesus' reaction, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Why is Jesus so troubled? Well, some think that Jesus is moved by their grief and is consequently angry with the sin and sickness and death in this fallen world that generates so much sorrow. Others think that Jesus is troubled, angry even at the unbelief of the Jews. Whatever, he's troubled. And we get to verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. Bible quiz question, if you're one of those Bible quizzes. Shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. It is not possible that Jesus' tears were shed for Lazarus, since he knew he was about to raise him from the dead. Sure, it is the same sin and death, the same unbelief that caused his grief. Verse 36, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And then we have the account of Jesus going to Lazarus' tomb and raising him from the dead. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But, Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now you will realize that the raising of Lazarus was different, altogether different to the resurrection of Jesus. Lazarus, of course, died a second time. Jesus is alive forevermore. But eternal life, that is the promise of Jesus to Martha and also to us tonight. Yes, death may intervene, as it would have done in the case of Lazarus. But eternal life is Jesus' promise to us. I asked at the start what the resurrection means to you and me today. How crucial is it to our faith? Well, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And that is the question for you and me tonight. Do we believe this? Well, may it be that we answer with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are who you said you were, the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Well, may God help us, and may God strengthen our faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that we have looked at this evening. We thank you for Jesus not only giving new life, but being the resurrection and the life. Father, we pray that each one of us might know what it is to know new life in Christ, might know what it is to believe in him with all our hearts, to have that personal faith and trust in our Lord Jesus. Father, bless us tonight, and may we live in the light of this knowledge in this new week you give us. May the risen Lord Jesus Christ go with us into this week. May we know his power as we live before others and witness for him. So hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.